Tuesday, if you're listening on Tuesday.
I was about to say, it's not Friday for them.
It's Friday for us. We're recording today, and we were having a little bit of technical difficulties, but, you know, we queens or whatever, so.
Oh, whatever. We've been running into a lot of little technical issues.
I'm just not a technology savvy.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the
recorder on. Mm-hmm. Can't press one button, it turned on. Usually I'm the one that's like doing good.
Not today. Neither one of us were succeeding. But we have our new merch on.
Yes, I'm so excited. They're so
Big
cozy.
Mama merch. And I got my blanket right here that V ordered for me.
You guys are going to love the blankets.
The blankets are great. The blankets are awesome. 10 out of 10 recommend. If you're a football mom like me, you're going to need it.
10 out of 10 recommend.
10 out of 10. 5 stars, baby.
Yo, really. It really is so comfortable. As soon as I opened it up, BB stole it from me. She's like, I want it. I was like, oh, God. Now I have to order her one, too. So
I wanted to start the podcast with a message that we received. Nice. I didn't read it all the way through, so we're just going to wing it here.
What do you mean?
She just said, I need some advice. So I just said, all right, we're about to read this on the podcast.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Kale, I need some advice. Did your baby daddy ever say that he couldn't get along or co-parent until he, quote, healed from the shit show of your relationship? Yesterday, my baby daddy started going back in the past and trying to blame me for him having issues today in his relationship. Like, no, you're just a shitty ass person and always have been. He acts like he wasn't toxic and all I did was treat him like shit. This was 10 or 11 years ago. How are you going to reopen a wound like that? You broke me. I moved on from it and remarried someone who treats me like a fucking queen. I'm trying not to let it fuck with me, but it is fucking with me. Did you and any of your baby daddies ever go through anything like that? Actually, yes. And I changed out who she was asking about because I don't think I need to mention his name on here, but 1000% one of my kids' dads still does this to this day.
Yeah.
We'll pull out shit that has nothing to do with anything, and it'll be like 4 years ago, and he'll literally be like, I'm still healing. And it's like, but you have a whole other family going on, and you're still healing. You can't treat me respectfully and civilly because you are still healing from something from 5 years ago, but you have a whole family and you're now using this as an excuse, but it wasn't a thing 6 months ago. The only thing that you can do is really go to therapy, and that therapy has been helping me with that. That's literally, like, I don't respond to anything that is, I want to be careful because I don't want to say either one of their names.
Yeah.
It's obviously not Joe.
I know. I know that.
It's definitely not Joe. I don't want to say either one of their names because...
How do I know who you're speaking about?
It's annoying. It's like, do not email me. Do not text me. Do not do any of that. Like, that goes for both of them, really.
Yeah,
they do that all the time. Like, I'm still healing from something you did on October 31st, 1989, and we weren't even born yet.
Have you ever done that to any of them?
Mm-mm.
Because even if it's like stuff from 4 or 5 years ago... I mean, I can see how people could hold on to something. Like, we've talked about this before, about how sometimes things, we don't see things in other people's perspectives.
Right.
It might affect them way more than you ever knew. I could see it being something big, but...
But you can't just, like, pull it out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's the point I'm getting to. To keep bringing it up, it's like, okay, at some point, you have to choose to heal from that. You can't keep blaming me, you know?
But in my case, which I'm assuming is her case, is like things were fine for a while. And now out of nowhere, you're talking about something that happened 6 years ago that you've never brought to my attention until today.
Well, that's resentment.
Yeah.
That's resentment and that's holding grudges. And
it's exhausting.
It is.
And honestly, I'm at a point where, like, I don't entertain, like, one of my kids' deaths. I'm noting this for documentation, and I'm just like, okay, first of all, I'm the queen of lawyers. I have five retainers. I have five lawyers on retainer at all times.
I have, listen. I I'm going to surprise you for your birthday with a shirt that says Queen of Lawyers.
I'm not kidding. I have way too many. I have literally, like, I could go down the list of, like, what kind of lawyers and why. I have a criminal attorney. I have my family attorney. I have my trademark attorney. I have my entertainment attorney. And I got one other one that y'all don't even know about. And literally, do not tell me that you're noting something for documentation when they would literally laugh in your face if they read this. Do you know what I'm saying? So now, because that was the thing is, like, my kids' dads have always threatened me with attorneys. Mm-hmm. So then I started to do the same. And then, like, after I had a huge, ugly custody battle, I realized in the courtroom in front of a judge what is going to be looked at and what isn't. So now you can't threaten me with lawyers because I know that they're going to literally laugh at you. Yeah. They laughed at me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you already know. Like, I've tried this before, so if it didn't work with me, it's really not.
You get a slap on the wrist for every little thing. I don't need to react, even if you threaten me with the kids, or you threaten me with emails, or you threaten me with this, and you can't don't give it your energy. That's where I'm at. Like, do not give it your energy. If they say they're going to take you for custody, they're going to take you for child support, they're going to do this, or just don't even give it your energy. Just say, okay, that's it. You don't, I mean,
yeah, let them walk.
Even if they're bringing up shit that is resentment from 6 years ago, it is not worth talking about. Like, don't even put your energy into it.
Yeah, I do think that's unfair, though, because, like, I don't know, I think about things that happened 6-5 years ago, and it's like, if it's really holding that much weight on my heart, I want to try and get through it. You know, like, I want to get to the core part of why it's making me feel that way,
right,
and work through it. I'm not going to hold on to it and, like, keep using it as a, you know, as a weapon to hurt somebody else.
Because that's obviously, like, you have to look at that and be like, okay, is me holding on to this doing more damage to me or to them?
Exactly.
Because they most likely don't care.
Don't even know. You don't even care.
Right.
You're like,
so it's hurting you more.
Exactly.
So it sounds like, to me, in this girl's message, that it's whatever it is bothering him more than it's bothering her.
Yeah.
So
he needs to really...
Don't take
face
the blame
it,
for
like,
this.
Head on, and he needs to deal with that. And obviously, I think he's holding just a lot of resentment from her. Maybe he's even jealous seeing
projecting.
Her. Like, yeah, exactly. Maybe he's jealous seeing her move on and have a guy that treats her like a queen.
And he probably
all the
has
things that he couldn't probably
shit in
get
his relationship.
Her. Exactly.
Right.
He's probably very unhappy.
Facts.
And people, that's what people do. People really, they project what they're going through onto you a lot of the times. You know, like, misery loves company.
That's a real fucking saying.
It really is. It really is. And I've learned that as I got older. I'm like, oh, misery loves company. But how you react to a certain situation, what is that quote that, it's like you're something about, like, how others treat you is...
How they think about, how they feel about
you? How they feel about you is like, I feel like I screenshotted this the other day because I saw it and I always think about this quote often, but I can never remember
it. There's certain quotes I think about too, like, that apply.
I screenshot a lot of things because I just love quotes.
If someone went through my screenshot roll, they would be like, what the fuck is going on here? Just because I screenshot the most random shit at all times.
Damn, what is it? I can't put my finger on it. It's just something about, like, how... Like, how people treat you is their business, and, like, but, like, how you react to it is your...
Yeah.
You know, that's...
That's your business. That's
exactly.
Your...
Like, that's something that you have to do with, like... damn, now it's, like, on the tip of my tongue, because it's, like, a really common saying, but I can't find it here.
Once you find it, we'll post it on the podcast.
Yeah,
on the podcast,
but... It's real. Like, you have to work on those things, and you can't be just out here projecting that shit onto other people. Because for one, people are going through a lot on their own, you know?
I don't think that a lot of people realize that, and I say this all the time, I've said it on my Instagram, on the show, on the podcast, is like, you don't realize that you're projecting until you're out of it and you have created distance. Like, you don't realize how, like, what you're doing until you're in a happier place and you look back and you're like, wow, I was miserable, so I was making the people around me
miserable.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't think that people really understand that or believe it until they go through it themselves.
Absolutely, 100%. Oh, I think I got it. Hold on.
Found it, y'all.
Oh, so what people say to you is their problem. How you react is yours.
Facts.
Like,
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I agree. Yeah.
Wait, make sure you favorite that so we can post
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. I will post it so you guys can... send this to whomever you need to.
Whomever. I saw this. Kristen sent me this quote today, and I was cracking the fuck up because you know how we talked about, like, sex toys before.
Yeah.
And I've had some really funny experiences over the past couple weeks, and we'll get into that at a later date.
Okay.
But Kristen sent me this. She said, "I need a boyfriend because I'm tired of my room sounding like a barbershop every night," and I've never related harder in my entire life. So that's where we're at.
Every then, night?
Yeah.
No shame.
So she said that to me, and I thought it was funny. So I wanted to share that with y'all.
That is funny. Someone actually DM'd us, and they were talking. They were asking us about our. They wanted us to talk about our children's birth stories.
Okay.
I was like, if you'd be interested in that, I thought that would be really interesting.
Let's do it. I
want to start with Isaac.
Okay. Oh wow.
Hold my foot, Joe. I need to know why this was said. People always still like talk about that, and I think it's so hilarious.
I was so pissed.
It was so funny. The way you said it to him was so hilarious.
I was so pissed.
So I want to hear everything. I think this is so interesting. I don't think I've heard like the whole story of how, at least from you, I've heard from Joe's perspective. So I want to hear from you.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, first of all, looking back, I don't know if I ever talked about the mucus plug thing. So before I even knew that I was in labor, first of all, it was like 3-4 weeks early. It was like unexpected. Cause they say within 2 weeks to like expect to go into labor. Yeah. Like, I hate when people are like, oh, she was 2 weeks early. And it's like, no, a due date is literally give or take 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You go 2 weeks over, 2 weeks under. That's not, your baby's not premature.
Exactly.
Well, that's rude. But, anyways, so looking back a couple days prior to going into labor or the day before, I don't remember exact timeline, the mucus plug came out and I saw it and I had it like in the toilet paper and I thought I was miscarrying. Like that's how like I didn't know. Nobody told me about this.
Exactly. I was about to say that. No one tells you about the things that you go through kind of prior to giving birth.
Yeah.
And it's so scary.
So I was so shocked and Janet never said what it was and she also was confused. So I don't know if maybe like because she hadn't given birth for like 16 years, she didn't remember, which no blame or fault to her, but she's like, it's okay, like, calm down, we're gonna get you in a bath. I didn't want to take a bath, but I'm like, okay, like, whatever, she's a mom, she gets it.
We're gonna get you in a bath, that is such a thing that she would say.
And I was just like, okay, so I'm panicking, everything seems to be fine. Fast forward to, like, when I go into labor, everyone in the house, Joe, Janet, and Eddie all worked in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone left for work. And I got up when Joe was getting ready for work. I got up cause I thought I peed my pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, like I'll just clean up and go back to bed. So that was like 5 a.m. I wake up around like 10 to like period cramps.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, we'll just bug it out. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
Call my mom. And she's like, no, that sounds like you're in labor. But my mom doesn't take me to the hospital. She like leaves work and comes to Joe's house and doesn't take me to the hospital. She's like, we're going to take you to the doctor. So I'm like, okay. Now, mind you, my doctor's in Allentown and we live in Easton at this time. They're like maybe 30 minutes apart. So it's not too far of a drive, but between the time that we got in the car, maybe like 10:30, 11 a.m. to the time we get to Allentown, which is 30 minutes, my contractions are 4 minutes apart.
Yeah. And by that time it's feeling like forever.
So I get in the doctor's office and I get in the elevator and I gush blood everywhere. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, why are we going to the doctor and we're not going to the hospital?
Yeah,
like,
that's
please
where you
help
need to
me.
Be.
Okay, so let's talk about Warby Parker really quick because I do have an eye doctor appointment coming up and I'm going to get new frames. But for now, I'll wear my Rosewater glasses. They are the Francis frames in Rosewater. So Warby Parker is committed to providing exceptional vision care online and in stores, offering eyeglasses, sunglasses, eye exams, and contact lenses. And I think I am going to do the lenses at my next appointment just because I feel like I can't wear like big hoops with my glasses because it's too much.
Yeah. So I'm kind of clashes, right?
Yeah. It's just like too much. It's too busy. So I am excited but nervous to get my contact lenses. You can try Warby Parker's free home try-on program. You order 5 pairs of glasses, try them on at home for free for 5 days, and there's no obligation to buy. He and I both did this.
Yes, I love it so much, and it was so fast. It ships free, and it includes a prepaid return shipping label and everything that you need, and you get to try 5 pairs of glasses at home. completely free and at your own leisure. Yes. And I was able to do that. I got my frames and I love them. I normally use contact lenses, but mm-hmm. when my eyes need a breather, I love wearing my glasses and they're so comfortable. And I was so lucky that I was able to just do it online. Like I literally hate going to like shop for glasses and stuff like
that. Well, that's like an Instagram moment too, because you can post pictures of all your glasses and yeah. have people vote.
Exactly. So you could take a little poll online or something yes. and see which ones, and you can choose it. So yeah, so basically you're able to try them on at home, and you can try them home at free at warbyparker.com/mamadrama.
They also have sunglasses too. I want to mention that, because if you ever see me wearing sunglasses, my sunglasses are prescription, just because my vision is that bad that I would not be able to not have them. And they do have blue light filtering lenses as well. So those are now available in case you don't really need a prescription, but you want that. And if you have an iPhone X, you can download the Warby Parker app where you can do a virtual try on. That's also awesome. For every pair of glasses sold, Warby Parker distributes a pair of glasses to someone in need. And we love that. You guys know we love to give back. Almost 1 billion people worldwide lack access to glasses. And that means 50% of the global population cannot effectively learn or work. So we highly, highly recommend Warby Parker. We love it.
Yes. And if you prefer shopping in stores, Warby Parker also has retail locations throughout the U.S. So you can find your nearest store at warbyparker.com/mamadrama.
But if you want to try this at home, try on, go to warbyparker.com/mamadrama. Don't forget to use our URL. It's warbyparker.com/mamadrama. Just bleeding everywhere, and so my mom takes me to this hospital. It's a Catholic hospital.
Okay.
Closest hospital we could find. Okay. It's in the middle of Allentown.
Wow.
And my doctor's car won't start.
Get out!
Dr. Karunos, I need you immediately. I am 16 and having a baby. Like, please hurry. Like,
yes, I need you.
So they checked to see, like, did my water break and all of this, and they confirmed. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like, I'm having contractions 4 minutes apart. This is not a joke. Like, you think I'm lying? You think that I'm in false labor? Like, this is not it. So I don't know, like,
pop out.
I don't know who called who. I don't know if they called Jen at first or Joe or whatever. But I don't really, the next thing I remember was just there was 13 people in my room.
Get the fuck
it was
out.
The doctor, the nurses, the camera crew who said they were my cousins in order to film. My mom was in and out. My friends were in and out. Joe was in. I think Joe might have been there the whole time. I remember at some point I was holding his dad's hand. Like, I don't remember. Like, they let so many people
was in there.
Yes. So, come fast forward to, I don't even remember anything else other than the hold my foot, Joe, was that they tell you to hold their foot so you can, like, mm-hmm. there's no stirrups, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, so I don't.
It's like the pressure that they're pushing on.
Yes, and so he's just, like, barely holding it.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure he stopped, and I didn't have anything to push on.
Yeah.
To, like, bear down and, like, push.
Uh-huh.
So he's, like this. Like, barely holding on. And I'm like, hold my fucking foot! Like, hold my foot, Joe! Like, hold it! I'm pushing a human out of my vagina, and you are barely
holding my leg.
Gripping my leg. I need you to fucking push back.
Yes.
So that was that. And then,
yeah, you need that pressure. Like,
oh my God, I needed something to push on. And so that was, like, and I think he was trying to be helpful, but, like, he just, like, wasn't. I don't know if he had to do that with you. I feel like by the time you had BD, they probably had something.
Yeah, they had my legs. That's why I was confused. I'm like, why was she telling him to hold her foot? But I didn't realize back then.
Well, the hospital was old as fuck. Like, I'm talking, like,
outdated.
Like, Roman times or whatever.
So funny,
like, it was so bad. And then this nun came in to see me because this baby was born out of wedlock.
Mm.
And it was
like, should I come and have a talk with you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is dramatic.
So, and nobody stayed in the hospital with me ever, like, any of the nights at all. Like, Joe went right back to work, and Janet went to work, everyone went to work. So, like, this woman is a nun, and I wasn't even supposed to give birth at this hospital, and she's coming to talk to me. And then they told me, also, like, Isaac's small, his little, like, soft spot right here.
Yeah.
They said that it was fusing together prematurely, and he, you know, there was a potential that he was, it was going to stunt his brain development, his brain growth, and I was like, oh my God, I can't handle all of this. Like, in this short amount of time between me having a baby and I was 17 and having, I just couldn't, yeah. I couldn't deal. But yeah, to hold my foot, Joe, was him not holding on. I had no pressure. I had no, like, I had nothing to, like, push down.
That's such
on.
An iconic line. We, I feel like we need,
iconic.
To, we need to recreate a reel of Kale giving birth and me and her screaming,
hold my foot, Joe!
That's one of the reels that we
did. Did he say what he was, like, what was going on in that moment?
No, I don't know. I don't, he was just like, I don't know. She was just yelling at me to hold her foot. And I was like, what?
You have to hold
like,
it.
Why weren't you, like, holding her foot then? He's like, I don't know.
Why did MTV do me like that? Take that shit off.
Oh my God.
I'm going to
so
Google
funny.
It really quick.
Definitely. That's... You guys have one of the most, like, iconic, like, lines, I feel
one
like,
liners,
in the show.
One-liners.
Yeah.
Hold
my foot, Joe. It's so funny. Yeah, people always send, like, that little clip sometimes. And they'll be like, it's so funny. I'm like, yo, for real. It's really
so
funny.
Embarrassed. Okay, nothing comes up when I Google hold my foot, Joe. I was going to be like a GIF or something, but it wasn't.
That's surprising. But yeah, that's, oh my God, that's
was there anything funny or, like, entertaining that happened to you during your birth? Was it traumatic or was it, like, smooth sailing?
It wasn't traumatic. I think it was pretty, I think my birth was pretty normal. I think the day, the, like, not the actual birth, but the day, like, leading up to it
was
pretty
hard.
Yeah, because, so, Eddie, Joe's brother, was staying with us that weekend.
Okay.
Like, it was, like, a random meeting. He's like, I'm gonna come down. And I remember, I specifically remember telling Joe, it was, like, a Friday. I gave birth on a Sunday.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
How do you remember that?
Sunday. I don't even know. But I'm pretty sure I gave birth on a Sunday night. I remember him coming, like, Friday, either Thursday or Friday, one of those, but I remember on Friday me telling Joe, like, I feel like I'm gonna give birth this weekend. Like, I just had a feeling, I don't know what it was, like, I woke up that morning and I just felt weird, like, my body just felt like it was telling me, like, it's coming, like,
something's
be prepared.
Happening.
Something
yeah.
literally in my brain was telling me, you need to prepare yourself, like, this shit is about to go down. So I woke up and I told Joe, and he's like, no, you got like at least a good more like 2 weeks or something. Like,
oh,
it was
wow.
like me too. Well, she was born 10 days earlier, but he thought I still had time. And I was like, no, I was like, I can come, she can come right now.
Right. They say give or take 2 weeks.
Exactly. And then there's like this thing that people usually say girls come a little bit earlier.
Okay.
Which is weird. But in my case, it was true. Like, she came 10 days earlier. She wasn't due till October 14 and she was born October 4. So, I remember just telling him, I'm like, be prepared. I was like, I know your brother's coming this weekend, but I'm gonna have this baby. Like, I know I'm gonna have her. And he was like, you're bullshitting. Like, you'll be all right. Like, he just kept looking at me like, you're fine. We're gonna hang out this weekend. It's probably like your last weekend that
we get to
hang out. So, like, have fun. Like, mm-hmm. let's just chill. So I was like, okay, like, I'm pregnant. I can't have fun, but but I'll chill with you guys.
Right.
So I just remember, like, it was like Saturday or something. I think it was like, yeah, it was Saturday night. Like, we had went through a whole day. We were chilling. We were hanging out. I felt weird all day. And then, like, I just wasn't enjoying myself. I was so uncomfortable. I was, like, having random pains and stuff. So, I just wasn't enjoying myself. And then, that night, I remember them in the den, like, playing Xbox. And I was in the room by myself, like, laying down because I wasn't feeling good. So, then I just started getting, like, really bad
cramps.
So, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I kind of knew. I already knew. As soon as I felt that cramp, and it was so bad. Like, I went to the bathroom, and I went on the toilet. And then I remember calling my, I don't know if it was my sister or my mom, or I called my mom, she didn't pick up, and then I called my sister. And they're always together. So I was like, I gotta get one of them on the phone, because I started crying because the cramps were like so bad.
Right,
and then on top of that, I got really nervous. Like, I got, my whole body got hot because I was like already, since my body was already telling me that I was going into mm-hmm. labor that weekend, I already got nervous.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, this is it. So my whole body, I just remember getting so hot and I was sweating and I called my sister and I was like crying and I'm like, oh my God, I have like these really bad pains. And she's like, okay, like how often are you getting them? And I was like, I don't know, it's coming like every couple, like few minutes and stuff. And she's like, okay, you're having contractions.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like,
oh, no.
As soon as, yeah, once they tell you the C word, it's like, oh my God, like, this is it. Like, this shit is about to go down. And it's like, I was never a person, I know there's a lot of people that are, like, scared about the whole idea of giving birth. Mm-hmm. I never fully thought about it. Mm-hmm. Like, just my whole pregnancy, I feel like I was consumed doing so many other things. Like, we moved to Delaware. Like, we were just doing so much. Yeah. I never actually got a chance. Yeah, I never got a chance to really be like, damn, like, I am going to go into birth. I never even had, like, a real birth plan or anything.
I never had a birth plan.
Yeah, I never had a birth plan. I never was able, which I think now, like, if I ever, I mean, we're not planning to, but if I ever was, I would like to have those things, you know, like have a birth plan in place and stuff.
Or like at least like kind of like the staples that you want to at least like go by. Yeah,
exactly. And I didn't know any of that. I'm just like, okay, like once it happens, it's just going to happen. I'm just going to go in the hospital. I didn't know you can like have a plan and like have all these things set up.
And like a bag.
Well, I had the bag, whatever. Like I had the necessities. I had everything for her. And I don't even want to get into the bag because I didn't know half the shit that I needed to pack either.
I didn't have a bag, well, because nobody prepared for the Isaac situation, so I didn't have a bag at all, let alone.
Really?
And to your point about being nervous, the only anxiety I had about the actual birth and, like, contractions and stuff was Creed. Like, I literally lost sleep, and that was my fourth one. Oh, wow. But Isaac, Lincoln, Lux, I never was, like, nervous about contractions or anything like that, and so, but for Creed, for some reason, I was, like,
so nervous.
I was like, I'm terrified to go into labor. Like, I was terrified.
Was it because you were having a home birth, you think?
I don't know. But I literally lost sleep and would literally have anxiety about going into labor. Like, I was not ready. But also, I wasn't ready for the whole pregnancy.
That's what I was going to say. You were going through a labor.
I was just not, you know, but I get the whole, like, being busy. Like, you just don't think about it.
Yeah, I never truly thought about it. Like, I was never like, okay, like, a baby's going to come out of my little
ass. Like, how do I prepare for this?
Yeah. You don't think about that shit. And then on top of that, so, like, I had the bag prepared. Like, I had everything for Valise. Like, all her first outfits, like, hats, everything. Everything for her. I forgot deodorant. I only had, like, a set of pajamas for me. And it was, like, literally, like, a little bata, like, a little, one of those little
gown things. Yeah.
And I was, like, so freezing in the hospital. I'm, like, no one's, like, I should have packed some sweats or, like,
a blanket.
I had nothing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, thankfully, Joe was able to, like, go to the house. We're, like, 5 minutes from the hospital.
Yeah.
So, he was able to get me stuff. But I'm, like, I wish I was more prepared. But, yeah, so back to them, like, I was, like, calling my mom and I'm, like, crying. I'm, like, oh, like, I know this is it. Like, on top of that, I was nervous because it was just
you didn't have your sister or your mom.
And then my whole thing, I was nervous too. I was like, I hope that they make it in time because they were the only two people that I wanted in my room with Joe. Like, I was like, I don't care who's here. I want my mom and my sister here.
Ooh, that brings up a great topic to talk about too.
Yeah, so when we, I remember as soon as I told them, like, literally my sister was like, as soon as you called me, me and mom got, we already started getting all our shit together. They got their shit together and they were literally, like, flooded. We'll get into that, but, so she was like, okay, you gotta tell Joe, like, you gotta go to wherever he is and let him know. So I went to the, den, and there, I remember this so vividly, it was so hilarious. I go to the den, and they're, like, into this game, they're just, like, chilling there, but, you know, guys, they're, like, their faces is so into it, and I go in there, and I'm like, guys, I'm about to give birth, like, I'm contracting, like, I said it so dramatically, and then they just stopped, they literally just stopped, and they just looked at me. And Joe was like, wait, for real? And I was like, yes, like, I'm contracting, like, I'm about to have this baby. And then Eddie just looked at Joe, and they were just, like, looking at each other. And he was like, oh, well, I guess I came at a good time. And I was like, I told you. Yeah, like, they both got so nervous. And I think they thought I was playing. And then Joe was like, wait, for real? I was like, yeah.
Did I have Isaac?
Yeah, Isaac wasn't with us.
Okay.
And then, so he was like, all right. And I just remember both of them, like, being so frantic, like, worse than me. Like, they're like, okay, we gotta get the diaper bag. And he's like, yeah, go get the diaper bag. Like, I'm gonna go hit the car up. I'm gonna get her in the car. And I'm just literally chilling. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna go.
Like, everything is moving in fast.
Everything is fast. Yeah.
And you're just standing there, like.
What? I was like, I'm gonna go grab my hoodie. I'll be right back. Like, like, I was, like, chilling. Because I didn't want to freak out. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna chill. Like, I was like, one thing I do know, which is kind of stupid to think about because it's not true. I was like, one thing I do know is, like, I have time. Like, I know.
No, I know.
I remember my sister, when she had gave birth to my niece, she went home, she took a shower, she got something to eat. Like, so I'm over here thinking, like, okay, births happen, like, it takes a long time, so I'm good. Which, I mean, I was lucky, but I shouldn't have thought like that, because that's not how it usually
is. That's what I thought with Lux. I was like, well, I need to take a nap. Once my water broke, I was like, I need to take a nap. I need to take a shower and take a nap, and then I'll go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. That was what my sister did with my niece.
He would have been born in the house.
Yeah.
If I would have done that.
Yeah. So I was crazy thinking that, but I did. Fortunately, I had time. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to freak out. Like, when I get to the hospital, everything's going to be chill. Like, whatever.
I feel like I'm constantly apologizing for everything that I do. Okay. So my therapist was telling me that, like, I don't have to, if I do something or say something that doesn't change, like, the trajectory of someone's life, mm-hmm. why are you saying sorry? You're not sorry. Like, oh, I should not apologize for not replying to someone's text. It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's not like, I'm sorry, I didn't respond to your text. It's, no, I lost track of time. I hope it's not too late to make plans or whatever it is, you know? So, that was the topic for me in therapy yesterday, and I actually love it. So if you want to think about therapy, I definitely recommend BetterHelp, and the best way to do it is through customized online therapy.
Yeah, so going to therapy is like, it's a routine maintenance for your mental and emotional.
Yes, ma'am.
Basically. It helps you prevent bigger issues down the road. It doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong with you.
You could have postpartum. Yes. We just talked about.
Yes, absolutely. It means you're investing in yourself just to keep your mind healthy. You need to be at 100%
all the time.
Yes. Or at least most of the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean. And like V was saying about postpartum and like me not wanting to leave the room when Isaac was born is like, I don't think anyone really prepares for that.
No.
And it's kind of nice if you start therapy before that. And so you kind of have that like resource to fall back on if you are going to have a baby or something, you know?
Yeah, it's good to have that preparation and to have those talks beforehand, mm-hmm. so that when you do experience postpartum, it's not so crazy to deal with, and you actually have the resources at hand to deal with them a little bit better. And BetterHelp is customized. It's basically customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to even see anyone on camera if you don't want to, which is perfect when you're at home with the baby and you want to get out, like we said. So you can just set up a video chat and talk with your therapist right in the comfort of your own home.
Which is what I do it from here at the office, but yesterday I did my online live from home because both my little kids were sick and it was just easier for me. So it is a lot more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. So why invest in everything else and not your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and baby mamas, no drama listeners, get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/mamadrama. That's BETTERHELP.com/mamadrama.
I remember them, like, as soon as I got in the car, like, it just started to hit me so bad. Like, I was fast. Like, I was, like, holding onto the seat, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, you have to, like,
hurry up.
Have to hurry up. Yeah, I was like, at this point, like, this baby's going to come out of me. So they were, like, so nervous, and then his brother came, too. But when I got there, I wasn't dilated or anything. Like, it was just starting, and he was like,
did your water break?
No, nothing, like, nothing happened. It was just a contraction. Yeah, like, they had to break my water.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, like, I never had, like, a whole, my water breaking, like, none of that. So, they were just saying, like, listen, like, you're not dilated.
Did you go home?
Yeah.
Fuck no. I would, no.
They were like, listen,
you can stay. I would throw myself on the floor. Take me now.
Listen, they were like, you can stay here and, you know, wait till you're dilated. Or you can just, you know, be comfortable in your own home.
So you're in pain in contractions.
I was in active labor for like a whole day at my house.
In pain like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, because I know what contractions feel like. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you're like, I cannot take this anymore.
She gave me an Ambien to go home so I could go to sleep. And I didn't sleep. Like, the ambient, my body ate that shit up. Like, I could not sleep. And then Joe went to bed because he was, like, preparing. Like, he's like, I need to get at least a little nap in. Like, if you're not dialing, I need to go to sleep a little bit. And I was like, okay, well, good for you. He's like, well, she gave you an ambient, so you're probably, you'll fall asleep, you
hold
know?
My foot, Joe.
He thought I was going to fall asleep because she gave, yeah, hold my foot. He's like, he figured, you know, she gave you an Ambien.
You're gonna sleep.
Like, we wake up, we go to the hospital, you're probably gonna be dilated, and boom.
Right.
No, like, I remember it being, so we went to the hospital, it was like nighttime. So by the time I got back to the house, it was like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I was in active labor from about, you know, that whole night. And then I remember at like 10 in the morning, me telling Joe, like, I just can't handle it anymore. Like, I need to go back to the hospital. So it was a good, like, 10 hours.
Was Joe's brother still there at that time?
No, he had left. Like, he kind of knew, like, what was going to happen. He's like, you're going to go into labor. And I think he had, like, to work or something anyway. He usually only comes for, like, a
2 days. Yeah.
So he missed it by, like, literally, like, a day. But, yeah, so I woke up and I just told Joe, I was like, I didn't get any sleep like that.
What were your sister and your mom?
They were still home because I told him, I was like, I'm not dilated. Like, I'm not... And then my mom, I think it was like, when did they come down?
Were they ended up being in the room?
I don't even remember. I remember like when I ended up going to the hospital actually that day, that's when they came down and they like, they came to the house and like prepared like the baby's room for me a little bit. And then when I got into labor, they were already there. But that whole Saturday, like that more, like that night up until the morning, they were still in New Jersey. Like I was like, oh, listen, I'm not dilated. Like, I don't even know right. how long this is going to take. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're like, all right, we're just going to sleep and then we'll go in the morning. But then, yeah, so I woke up and I woke Joe up. I was like, well, I didn't get any sleep. I was like, and it, I remember in the middle of the night, him just being knocked out. And I was just walking up like in the bedroom, like up and down.
Like pacing.
I couldn't. Yeah. I was pacing all night for hours. And then I was just like, listen, I have to be dilated at this point. Like,
yeah.
There's no way. I've been feeling this pain for hours and hours and hours. So then he's like, all right, let's go to the hospital. So we went to the hospital and then I was already dilated. I think I was like at 6 or 7 or something. Yeah. So I had opened up that much within those hours, but I was literally in active labor. That's what they said, like, quote unquote, like that whole time. I was just comfortable.
And your water kind of broke at that time?
No, like nothing happened. Like I was just feeling pain. So it was just weird. I was like, oh my God, like I cannot do
that. That sounds awful. That sounds absolutely fucking horrible.
It really was. And like, I think I went through the worst with the contractions. So when I got to the hospital, I was like, please give me, my epidural. Yeah. It's like, I really need it. Like I've been in pain for hours, like almost a day. Like I was like, I really need this. So they set me up, like they gave me the epidural.
How did you handle that?
Did you ever get one?
I had one with Isaac. I had fentanyl before we knew what it was, with Lincoln. And then I did completely natural births with
the babies.
Well, I didn't have a choice with Lux. There was no option.
Yeah, you like kind of just gave birth to him super fast, right? Well, with my epidural, I know I was scared as fuck because I saw the size of that thing. And I was
I can't look.
I was like, I know, where is that going? She's like, in your back. I was like, no. There's how? Like, where is this going? It's gonna come out of my ribs. Like, where is this thing going? I was so confused. And then Joe's like, you have to do it, babe. Like, you're in pain. Like, he's like, you don't have to do it, but you should. I was like, no, I'm gonna get it. I'm just scared. Like,
right.
And then I heard so many things about it. Like, it can fuck up your back. And like, let me tell you, ever since I got that thing, I have had back pains for my whole life. Like, since since I've had BB, I've had nothing but like, I guess, severe back pain like every now and then. And I think they really like, I don't know, it fucked me up.
I mean, it's definitely something that I think people notice the effects later on.
Yeah. Because I think after I had her, I never felt anything for a couple months and stuff, but then it just started hitting me out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the area where
the epidural was.
Like, I start feeling that pain and it goes all the way down to my lower back and I can't even bend down sometimes. Yeah. Like, and
hard.
I've never been like that. Yeah. So, so we were in the hospital and then we were like getting ready. I remember my mom and my sister, they were talking to Joe the whole time. They're like, we're ready. We're going on the way there from North Jersey to Delaware to here. It takes like 2 hours and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. My sister got here in an hour 30.
She's booking it.
An hour.
She was like, 30, she we're got not here. Getting no tickets.
I was like, you are fucking crazy. Yeah. My mom said she was like, I was holding on for dear life. She's like, she was so scared that they were going to miss it.
Yeah.
Because Joe already had hit him up.
So were they in the room with you when you gave birth? Or yes. They stayed home?
They were in the room. They were in the room with me. It was my mom, my sister, and Joe. That's it. It was just them. No one else was able to make it or anything. And, but I feel like I vaguely remember like the whole pushing and like giving birth, like, yeah. You know, like, yeah, it's, yeah, like, yeah. It's like kind of so like in and out. Blur. Yeah. It was, yeah, really fuzzy for me. Cause on top of that, I was on pain medication and mm-hmm. everything. Like,
I don't remember literally anything from Lincoln's birth because I was on fentanyl.
Yeah. I feel like
I don't remember. And they stopped.
I remember sleeping for a really long time.
I remember like going in and out. Like they told me it was going to make me really sleepy.
Yeah.
And I remember I don't remember pushing. I don't remember literally anything from Lincoln's birth from the fentanyl.
That's how I feel. Like,
was it fentanyl?
I'm pretty sure.
Do you know that kills people,
I knocked out. I remember just being the whole day sleeping. Yeah. Like up until they were like, we're ready to get hurt.
I don't remember anything. I remember things from Isaac's birth. Mm-hmm. I do not remember anything from Lincoln's birth at all.
That's crazy. Yeah. I started thinking, I was like, I remember everything up until that point. Like up until me getting to the hospital and then getting Doro and then getting my payment.
Right,
after that, everything is such a blur. I don't remember like much at all.
I don't know if they still do fentanyl for birth anymore. I hope
not. That should...
That shit fucks you up.
That shit put me... It knocked me out. I remember Joe, like, talking to me and, like, trying to, like, wake me up at some point and just trying to, like, you know, like, are you comfortable like that? And I just, like, was like... he's like, you weren't even...
Present.
Yeah. And I remember waking up. Because I really had to pee. And I just remember feeling so... Like, I couldn't even walk. Like, I was just, like...
I'm, like, putting myself back
I felt like a spaghetti. Like a
piece of spaghetti. Wow. Like, I really don't remember anything.
I really don't. And I know it was because of that. Like, I was fucked up. I was sleeping the whole time up until I had to get up and push. And it only took me, like, 20 minutes to push, they said. Like, it was pretty fast.
I don't remember pushing.
I don't remember me pushing either. I just know they said it took me like 20 minutes. But I don't remember even them like... I don't remember a lot. Like, I just know they were... Like, I remember my mom like holding my hand and like Joe was on the other side. I know my sister was the one that was like really on the side with the doctor, like pushing. And like she got like a really full view of Elise coming out. That's what she wanted because that's her first...
Like, she never seen her niece ever.
So she really wanted to see it, and my mom was like mostly holding my hand, and then Joe. And I vaguely remember like Joe being like, push, like you got this. And I'm just like, I remember telling him at one point, like, no, like I don't want to do this anymore. And he's like, well, you're giving birth.
Like, can we change our minds?
I was like, I am so tired. Like, I was exhausted for like not doing anything. Like, I was sleeping all day. But I was already so tired, like, just pushing. And they were just like, you have to push. And then I didn't know, like I thought, like, once you give birth, like, you push and you push and you push and that's it. But I didn't know it's, like, you have to push on contraction. You know how, like, when your contraction is... Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking, like, a birth is basically, like, okay, like...
You just keep pushing.
You just keep pushing.
Right, like, no. They say to, like, wait.
Yeah, it's, like, a process. Yeah. So, like, once I hit, like, my height where, like, once my contraction was, like, at its highest, mm-hmm. then they're like, okay, push on this. So I didn't know it was like that. So I was like, wait, what? I was like, I don't just push this thing out and then that's it. They're like, no, like we gotta
save your energy. You gotta
Wait
until you...
That's what she was telling me. I was like, yeah, well, that makes sense. And she's like, yeah, she's like, don't push. She's like, unless I tell you to push.
That was the one thing I don't like about hospital births is like, I don't want to be told when to push.
Exactly. Like I don't want to be told what my body's telling me. Yeah.
So when I had my midwife and I gave birth to Creed, that was one thing that she kept saying, do not push unless you need to push.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Cause I was kind of like you, like just keep pushing.
Yeah. Cause I felt it.
Lux, they told me not to push. And I said, this baby is coming out right now. Yeah. I pushed 3 times and he was out. Like, don't tell me not to push. Like, he's coming.
He's right there. Yeah.
So that was the one thing. Now that you say, I remember, like, I'm struggling to remember details of Lincoln's birth. I do not remember. I know.
It's crazy.
I think it was Javi, and I hope it wasn't one of the other ones, but I think he looked at me and said, I'm going to pass out.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure that was Javi. He's like, I don't think it was Chris. I don't think it was Chris, but I remember looking at Javi and he was like, it was one of them, either Chris or Javi, one of them was like, I'm gonna pass out.
I'm gonna pass out.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I couldn't do anything because I'm
Yeah, my sister literally has all the pictures of like
Janet had a whole video of Isaac's birth.
I know,
but she lost it.
I don't have like I told. I was like, I don't want to see any of those pictures. I don't want to see it. Like I don't.
I don't think I could watch.
I don't think I can.
Actually, I have creeds.
I can't. I don't think I can do it. So I was like, you can keep that for your memories. I was like, I don't want to
for your last. I do have creeds.
Every 60 seconds, not one, but two children are trafficked. And every 30 seconds, one is forced into slavery.
Today, we launch Goya Cares.
Goya Cares is dedicated to supporting victims and overcomers of trafficking and abuse to rescue, rehabilitate, reunite, and to shine the light that will block traffic. Join Goya Cares and visit blocktraffic.org.
Yeah, so after I had BB, you know, she came out and I remember like wanting to, like I was solely wanting to breastfeed. Like that was kind of my plan. Like I was like, okay, like I really want to do this. Like I know I can do it. If I put my mind to it, I want to do it. So I was very like, that was my plan. And I remember just the, like I had, because at our hospital, they give you a lactation consultant.
Yeah.
And you have the nurse, obviously, mm-hmm. the person who's helping you. So they were kind of telling me two different things. So I was, like, really upset because they said, like, the baby has to pee within 24 hours after coming out, after you give birth to them, whatever. Like, okay. they have to see some kind of pee or any or something, unless, if not, it signifies them being dehydrated.
Okay.
Or something like that. I mean, this is what I vaguely remember.
I don't remember it at all.
So, especially if you're breastfeeding, because they want to make sure that they're getting colostrum or whatever right. they're getting from your boob. So, I remember the nurse just, like, she was just so rude, and she was, like, being, like,
the nurse.
I told her, yeah, I was, like, telling her, like, okay, like, I really want to breastfeed, so, unless it's absolutely necessary to get formula, like, I want to try my best to solely breastfeed her. So, she knew my plan. And my lactation consultant was, like, telling me, like, oh, we already knew I was producing my colostrum. Like, BB was latching well. Yeah. Like, she was good. So she's like, you have nothing to worry about. Like, you're fine. And the nurse, on the other hand, was telling me, she's like, no, like, she hasn't peed. Like, she was so nervous about, like, BB not peeing. And she's, like, just driving me crazy. And she was like, which I get, she's doing her job. But she was, like, kind of being rude to me. She's like, well, And like the next hour, if you're feeding her and she doesn't pee or anything, then you have to give her formula because she's dehydrated, whatever. And I was like, I'm just going to keep trying. I was like, I think she's fine. And then my lactation, so it's like, she's telling me one thing and then my lactation consultant was telling me another. Like, she's like, no, she doesn't need formula. Like, she's fine. She'll pee when it's time for her to pee. So I was just like so confused. And then they like wouldn't even release me or anything until BB like peed because they wanted to make sure. Yeah. It was so weird.
That might have happened. I don't remember about the peeing.
I just remember being so stressed out because I was like looking at Joe and I was like, this is my plan. Like, I don't want to start giving her formula. Like, I want to just, if I can't do this on my own, like, I just kind of felt like a failure already. Like, right. I was like, this is my plan. Like, this is what I really wanted to do as a first-time mom. And I can't even do that. So I was like already really emotional. And Joe was like, just relax. Like, she's going to be breastfed. Like, she's going to be fine. And then, I remember just, like, changing BB's diaper at one point, and, like, I was just checking. Like, I kept checking. I'm like, please pee. Like, please pee.
Right, right.
Then at one point, she peed, and then I showed the nurse, and I was like, here, like, she's fine. Like,
and I would have thrown it out.
Yes.
Like,
I remember there's a picture of Joe holding BB up, like, the Lion King, like this. And I was
like,
he was, like, holding her up like this. It was so cute. And I was like, this is the picture of, like, we did it. Like,
we peed.
Like, we can get the fuck out of here. Yeah. But I was just, like, so upset that the nurse was, like, she was just being really cold. Like, she was just,
I think the problem with nurses on, like, the mother-baby unit is they see everything. And so they're very desensitized to, and I'm not speaking for all nurses. I'm only speaking for some.
Yeah.
Like, I think they forget that a first-time mom
can be really nervous.
Have a little bit of compassion. Yeah. Because we know that you see it all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So they don't, or they have their own kids and they know how things should be or what it's supposed to be or what they have to do for their job. But that doesn't mean we have to, like, be cold about it. Like,
To them, it's just like an everyday
thing. Yeah, like, they just see it all the time. But they forget that this is your first time being a mom.
Yeah.
So, like, to be cold for something about that is, like,
I definitely thought about that, too. I was like, listen, at this point it was the next day, so it was like early in the morning, like super early in the morning. I was like, maybe she just hasn't had her coffee. I don't know.
Like, not fair to you as a first time.
That's how I
felt. I'm saying. It's that's not really fair to you that, you know.
Yeah, I just kind of felt like really pressured. Like, I was just like, she was really pressuring me to give her like the formula and stuff, and I was just like, I was not against it. I was like, if I have to give a formula, like, whatever.
Right,
like,
but you want to give yourself a fair shot.
Exactly. That's what it was. I was telling John, I was like, I just want to, like, I know I can do this. And, like, I know she's getting what she needs. Like, she's fine. She's drinking. Like, I can see the colostrum coming up, you know? My milk supply didn't, my, like, full milk supply didn't come in until, like, 2 days after I left the hospital. Yeah. And it just poured out. I remember being in the shower, and it just, like, my boobs just started leaking. I was like, they're here. I told John, like, get the bottles. I was like, I am not wasting this shit. It took me so long to get it because I didn't know that it comes. I thought it came like as soon as you were.
That's what I thought, but.
And I was like, so there's a lot of things that I learned, like, just giving birth. I was like, holy shit, like, I didn't know it was going to come. And my lactation consultant was like, yeah, it can come within like even 3 days. Sometimes it takes 4. Like, you never know. Everyone's so different.
Catholic hospital that I gave birth in for Isaac did not have lactation consultants, so they did force me to give him formula.
No.
But I still kept trying to nurse, you know, at least for the 6 weeks. I didn't nurse for very long because, I mean, at that point, you're not latching them, and also I was by myself, and there was no lactation consultant to, like, help.
Yeah.
So it just didn't, I had a rough start. But once I knew better the second time for Lincoln, I will say, like, the lactation support in the hospital here is great.
And they're amazing.
I mean, I went to breastfeeding support group for Lincoln every single week for a long time.
Yeah.
And that was something that was cool. And I think that more hospitals, if they can, should offer that.
Yeah, definitely. I loved it. And I didn't expect that. So when I found out that I was getting a lactation consult, I was like, oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Like, thank God, because I don't really know exactly what I'm doing.
Right.
Like, I know most babies sometimes don't even latch properly. Like, thankfully, I didn't really have an issue with that. But if I did, I wouldn't have known what to do. I would probably just gave up, you know?
Well, I gave up for Lux pretty early on. Mm-hmm. I think it was only a couple months because he's lip tied.
Hard.
Even today, like, at 4 years old, his lip is connected in between his teeth.
Mm.
And he has a gap, and he has the little, and they looked at it at the dentist, and he's like, the only, you know, if, you know, you see a problem later on, the gap never closes, they might want to cut it, but the only other problem is, you know, for nursing. And then that literally was like, oh, well, that makes sense for why I couldn't nurse. Because I remember my friend Bone, her mom came to visit and was like, Gail, this baby's got to eat. And I was still nursing. She's like, he's got to eat. And she is a nurse.
Yeah.
And it was his lip tied.
His lip.
And then Creed is lip tied and tongue tied.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know
that. So I didn't even know lip tie was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was a thing either.
I had no idea.
That's crazy. But yeah, I breastfed Vivi for a year until she was able to just drink milk. But it was also easy for me because I was able to stay home with her.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think I would have went that long had I been working or, like,
no,
you
know, Javi's family made it so possible for me to nurse Lincoln.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
And even with, like, Lux, when I was trying, like, I didn't really have the same resources.
So
and with Creed, it was definitely, like, there was a no. I mean, Lux was only 3 years old, so he needed me. I needed him to latch, and I couldn't, so it was hard. It was really hard.
Yeah.
You said something about wanting your mom and your sister in the room. So I actually had a conversation with Kristen the other day about, like, who gets to decide who's in the birth room. Like, who gets to decide? Like, is that a conversation? Because I feel like nobody... So for Isaac... It was never a conversation. There was never a conversation who was going to be in the birth room. And I mean, it was fucking chaotic. Yeah. Like, it was so chaotic. And I look back and I remember when I gave birth to Lincoln, I told Javi, I said, I don't want anyone in the birth room. Mm-hmm. I don't even want people to come visit me in the hospital. I want them to wait until I get home.
Because you had already been through such a chaotic birth.
Yeah, I was like, you're just so tired and like mm-hmm. have an attitude when people come. Like, I don't want people to come to the hospital.
You know, you were my first and only visitor.
Me?
Mm-hmm. You were the only one that came to see me in the hospital.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You and Isaac.
I came to see you?
Yeah, you came and brought me gifts.
I did?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, me and Joe have pictures of you holding her and everything. You brought Isaac. Yeah, you brought Isaac to see her. Remember you brought, I remember you brought this little Princess Sophia bag and you brought her outfits and stuff.
I'm going to need to see the pictures for proof.
I'll show you it. Joe has it in his phone.
No way.
Swear to God. I remember so vividly.
Vividly?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
You came to bring Isaac because he wanted to see the baby. And we were still in the hospital. And you came. That was kind of, you and Javi, I think, were kind of going through, like, some things. I feel like we wanted to co-parent good, like, all of us. Right, but he wasn't on the same page. I think he even got mad a little bit that you came, like, to come see us. But I know you were just coming to, like, bring Isaac, really. But I have pictures of you.
Yeah, I didn't see them for proof.
I'm going to tell Joe to... You don't remember?
No, I'm so sorry. I remember because
you were my only visitor. And I was like, well, that was nice.
I remember telling Javi that I was like, I don't really want visitors. I mean, thankfully his family was really chill and like I didn't feel any kind of way. But like, I was just so... I remembered being so overwhelmed with Isaac's birth that I didn't want to feel that way with with Lincoln.
Understandable. 100%. Because it was so freaking chaotic. Yeah. I would feel the same way. I would not want that same experience the next time. Like, I just want it to be us.
Just
like,
us.
Yeah.
But his mom ended up coming. His cousins, his sister, they ended up coming. It was fine. For Lux, it was nobody. It was literally just me and Chris. Oh, well, nobody... Oh, no, I'm lying. For the actual birth, it was just me and Chris. And then my friend Rachel, she was there. And I think maybe Bone... I had visitors in the hospital. Like, but, like, actual birth was just me and Javi and then mm-hmm. me and Chris. And then my home birth was more than that. But...
Wow. Yeah.
It's a lot.
But, I mean, I was... I think I was, like, a little sad because, like, no one ever really came to, like, see me or anything.
They didn't,
but I get it. I was far. Like, you know, I get it. But... I just felt, I was just like, I don't know. I just thought it was
very different. Have like a bunch of visitors. And
yeah. Once I got home, I know Joe's mom came for like to help me out for like a week, I think it was, or like a few days. But I think that was it. And then my mom and my sister were there for for a little bit. My mom really couldn't miss work or anything like that. so I was like pretty much on my own.
It's terrifying. It's fucking terrifying.
I was so terrified.
It is terrifying. When I gave birth to Isaac, nobody stayed in the hospital with me, not even one night. And then when I got home from the hospital, again, nobody stayed home with me, not even one night. Mm-hmm. I was depressed. Mm-hmm. I remember sleeping on the floor in Isaac's room.
Why didn't anyone stay with you?
Nobody. Joe just started that job with his mom at...
Kyocera.
Mm-hmm. And I remember his dad coming and talking to me, and Isaac was probably 6-ish weeks old, mm-hmm. and Joe's dad came in the room, and he was like, "Yo, you have to leave this room." I would sleep on the floor in front of the crib because I wanted to be close to him.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't, I was so exhausted, mm-hmm. like I was so tired, and he's like, "You have to get out of this room, like you have to shower, you need to get out of the room, you mm-hmm. need to," and I didn't want to. I was so depressed. It was terrifying. Yeah, fucking terrifying.
Hit, like major postpartum, like that shit hit me so hard. Like when I just started realizing, like, damn, like I have I don't have, where's my village? You know, like I don't have the village.
Exactly.
Where's the fucking village? Right. That said they were gonna be.
You have people that are willing yeah. to help you, but the like. Kind of like my situation with you is like everyone was working.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have helped me if they could have. But
yeah,
they couldn't.
Yeah, you know, which I mean? Can't blame them, obviously. But it's so hard, especially when it's your first and
you're just overwhelmed, fucking tired.
Overwhelmed, tired.
That was the biggest thing too, was like once you get home from the hospital after you're up every 2 hours, you don't ever get to sleep. If you don't have somebody, you don't get to just like, I just need 3 days of sleep and then I'll do what I gotta do.
It was hard. Like Joe helped me to, I mean, he could barely help me very much because I was breastfeeding her. So
right, that's part of it too.
I had to be the one to wake up with her. Even if he could change a diaper, I mean, he would wake up because, you know, she's crying in bed with me, so he's going to wake up too. He can't really sleep through that, so he would wake up just to, like, be there with me and keep me company while I feed her.
Right.
But I couldn't just not sleep, like, stay sleeping. I couldn't stay sleeping and just let him do whatever, as much as I would have loved to do that. And he would have, you know, I just couldn't because I was breastfeeding her. So I remember we had a couch in her room. Like, we had put a couch, one of our old couches. He was like, we should keep this in here so that if you're ever in her room, you know, you can lay down here too.
Yeah.
So I was like, that was the smartest thing we ever did. Like,
did you use it a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used it a lot. And then there was times where he would like lay down with her in the morning and like chill with her there. Mm-hmm. If I was able to get like, the thing with me is like, I wasn't able to really pump a lot of my milk. Like she was able to get it directly from my boob, but I was very unsuccessful transferring it to bottle.
Yeah.
So whenever I wanted to go out or run errands and stuff, it was like, I had to prepare like a day before and try and pump out as much as I could just for an hour for her and like hurry up and do what I had to do because Joe only had one bottle on deck to give her.
Yeah.
And she was eating like a monster. I'm like, he's like, I remember being out for like an hour one time trying to do compra or whatever. And he's like, you have to come back already. And I'm like, I just left. He's like, she drank this bottle. Like, she's
still wants more. Fight about that.
Yeah.
Say like 2 ounces for every hour or 1 ounce per hour. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But whenever I pumped and tried to give him milk that way, it seemed like it was never enough.
Exactly.
So it was, and Javi and I used to argue, I was like, this is my only, that's when I used to love grocery shopping.
Yeah, it was my I love grocery shopping.
I hate it now.
Yeah.
But then I was like, that is my only getaway.
Yeah.
And I remember we would fight and he would, I remember like, I maybe was gone for like 45 minutes one time and he's texting me, blowing up my phone, like, you have to come. And I was like, no, like, I'm fighting him
because I'll be back. Like, I'm not running away. Exactly.
Fine.
Yeah. So that's what would happen. He'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. But he's like, she's done. And she's like screaming, crying. Like, she wants boob. I was like, oh my God. And he's
people don't talk about that. And it's lonely and it's isolated. It and you're like, you know, you love it. And it's like, it's bittersweet, right? Because you get that time. But breastfeeding did not come easy to me. Breastfeeding was not easy for me. I always had to take supplements. I always had to see the lactation consultant.
Yeah, I started. I struggled. The same.
It was not easy.
Yeah, I started taking brewer's yeast, and I was taking this other thing that, I don't remember the exact name.
Domperidone.
No, it smelled like syrup. I don't remember the name of it, but it was. I remember every time I would eat it, my whole body, like my pores, would sweat out, like, and I would smell like.
It starts with an F, I think.
Yes. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
So that, and then brewer's yeast, and then I would get lactation cookies from Babies R Us. That's when Babies R Us was a thing.
Yeah.
So they used to have this amazing pack of cookies that I loved. That was for breast, like strictly for producing
lactation.
So I had all of that too because I was concerned about me not being able to pump out my milk. Mm-hmm. I was like, am I not getting enough? So I was always confused breastfeeding. I'm like, I was always questioning myself. Like, is she getting enough? Because when I go to pump, nothing's coming out. But my lactation consultant was like, she's fine. Like, she was developing right. Her weight was putting on and everything. So I'm like, I guess it's just not me being able to pump, but that caused a damper in a lot of the things. Like, I couldn't really go out and like do the things that I wanted to do, like as far as food shopping or stuff for the house that I needed. Like,
or just like time for yourself.
Yeah. Or just going out to do my nails for a day or something. Like, it was crazy. And I didn't want to take her out. I was always so scared, like those first few months, to like take her out myself.
Yeah.
I
don't know. That's, no, like, it's overwhelming. Thing, right? All the things that you have to have. Scared. And like,
yeah, you think about those things.
Would never cover up with Lincoln. Do not ask me for me to cover myself up when I'm breastfeeding because I already am. I'm sweating because I have this newborn with all of these things, and like, I don't know what I'm going to need. I have this, I wore him a lot. He was a baby. I wore him a lot. I was sweating. It was just like being overwhelmed. I get hot. Mm-hmm. Like, I could just be stressed out and I'm like, all of a sudden I'm sweating.
Yep.
Do not ask me to cover up because I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
This is him eating. If you're sexualizing me, go fuck yourself. I don't care. That's your problem. And so that was like, the other thing was like, I just, knew that a lot of people had a problem with it, and it was just not worth all of the stress, the sweating, all of the things that I had to take with me. I just would rather not go out.
Yeah.
Just like, don't.
I felt the same
overwhelmed.
Way. It was, exactly. It was so overwhelming. Like, and then like I was just scared even being in a car with her, like just being in the car. I was like driving so slow, like just always so like aware of so many things, like just so fucking scared, like literally so scared,
yeah.
like doing anything. And I was like, it's so crazy now. I'm like, get in the car. We're getting
in the car. We're going shopping.
Car, hurry up.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
Get in, loser. We're going.
Could you imagine? They're like, whoa.
Yeah. But no, I don't think I even really answered.
Yeah, you did.
We kind of strayed away. But me and Joe never had that conversation about who was going to be in the room. I think he knew. Like
it was your mom and your sister.
I'm giving birth here. I need my support team.
Yeah.
To hold my hand.
Right.
You know, like
yeah.
if you wanted to bring, but at that point in time, me and his mom weren't as close as we are now. Like we didn't really have a great relationship then. So I wasn't telling him, like, I actively wanted her in the room. If she wanted to be in there, of course. I wouldn't have said no.
Okay.
But he never told me, like, anyone else wanted to be in the room or anything. We never had that conversation. So how am I supposed to know, you know? But as far as I know, my mom and my sister wanted to come. So I told them, yeah. So they, obviously, I'm going to say yeah. So they came. But Joe never told, we never had, like, an active conversation about it.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know. But that is interesting. I mean, I wonder, I feel like I would... As a man, I would, you know, lean more towards, like, what the woman wants. I mean, it's her...
Right, her body.
But then also, I could understand them if it's their parents' first grandchild or something like that, and them wanting to see how that could be something, too. But it's hard. Like, not every woman wants five people in their room, like, when they're...
I don't even know, like, how... they allowed as many people were in the hospital.
That's what I was about to say.
I remember at least at one time there was at least 10 people.
That's a lot.
I know my mom, Janet, never left. I know Eddie Senior and Junior were in and out.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Gigi, her girlfriend Rachel at the time,
the nurses,
the doctor,
literally a whole show.
This girl Marissa. I'm already at like 9 or 10 people.
Yeah,
and then Joe. And me.
That's fucking crazy.
It was not fun. I remember like the flip cams, like MTV, and they were like, we had to say we were your cousins to get in here. And I was just like,
I didn't even know that they could let in that many damn people. I think now, obviously, they would never.
They would never.
There's definitely a limit to
them being. No, I don't remember if there was ever a conversation with Javi about like his mom or his sister, because his sister and I have always had like a good relationship. I don't think there was ever a conversation about that, but I remember just saying, like, I just wanted it to be us. So I don't think we ever specifically said, like, oh, I don't want your mom there.
Yeah. Because,
like, Javi's mom is a saint. Like, she's honestly, like, the sweetest person on the planet.
She is.
Like,
every time I talk to her, whenever I do see her, which is a very rare occasion, she's the sweetest.
Like, because me and Javi are not even, never mind. I was going to say, if she ever wanted to be in the room, really she nice. Could, but we're not.
Not happening. No, yeah. But, what was I gonna? Yeah, I don't know. I think going forward, like if I was to ever
have another one,
yeah, but I'm not. Don't take me to this. But like, I'm just saying, if I think I would just want
the same
I don't
situation.
Know. Yeah, my mom, my sister, and then Janet. I think those would be my three people that I really, really would want in there. Like that's it.
I wonder if they would at this point would.
I don't
that.
Know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. If not, if it's that. You're only allowed like two or one. I wouldn't want it to be unfair, so I would just say me and Joe.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good idea.
Yep.
That's a good way to put it.
I'd be like, you know what? Just me and you. Like that's it. Like that's all I want to do. But yeah, that's our birthing stories.
Birth stories. We're gonna read one of our down in the DMs. So don't forget to tell us your favorite stories in our down in the DMs.
What? Damn! It's going down in the DMs. Okay, it's this one.
Okay, here's our story. Down in the DMs. So this isn't my story. This is my neighbor's story. The neighbor right next to us are getting divorced. When she told me, I was like, oh my God, no way. She said that she knew she deserved better. And they have two biological children. One that is hers with another man. And two that are her nieces that they're raising together, and so that's 5 kids total. Okay, mm-hmm. makes sense. She tells me that she was unhappy with his performance in the bedroom and went seeking elsewhere after repeatedly telling him that she was unsatisfied. Turns out she had a threesome with a married couple who are neighbors next to them on the other side. Instead of continuing with both of them, she and him decided to have an affair for an entire year. Neither spouses knew for the whole year until she told him she wanted a divorce. Now the other couple is getting divorced, and he is moving into my neighbor's house while his ex-wife still lives next door. Fuck that.
That's so crazy.
Fuck that all the way so yes. hard. Because, number one.
Oh my gosh.
He's going to go fuck his ex-wife sometimes. Yeah. You get you lose them how you get them.
Too close to proximity.
Too close to proximity. That's a no from me. That is fucking wild. And I do feel bad for the kids because like it just seems a little messy and mm-hmm. to know that the ex-wife is next door. But I do want to talk about something in that message. She says that she had told her partner for a long time that she was unsatisfied. Mm-hmm. What does one do in a situation like that? Because I have also been in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're talking over a year of me saying like, this is not, I'm not satisfied.
Yeah.
This is not fun. There's nothing changing. Yeah. There's nothing happening. At what point can you, like, at what point
do you give up? Or
not. Or like, what do you do? Like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's like an appropriate reason to cheat. I don't think there is an appropriate reason to cheat, but we all know that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
At what, like, because what if you love this person so much and so hard, but the sex is not.
It's not what you want.
It's subpar. Like, what do you do in that situation? Because you don't want to leave the person, but you can only tell your significant other for so long that you're not satisfied before you do look elsewhere.
Yeah, and you don't want to, like, keep faking it or something, you know?
Like,
or keep telling yourself, like, oh, it's going to get better, it's going to get better. Like, if it doesn't get better. Yeah, I think sex is such a huge part in a relationship, at least for me, too. Like, if the sex is not good, like, I don't need to be getting it every single day, but when I do get it,
I want it to be good. Worth it.
I mean,
it's never going to be 100% all the time.
Yeah,
but
it should be something that you're happy with.
You should be satisfied most of the time.
Exactly.
So I would be curious to see what our listeners think about that because,
I mean, this
partner is obviously someone that, when I think about it, like, checks off boxes.
All the good stuff.
Every other box he checked off.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just not.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks, man.
Like, what do you. And then, like, what is a good. Like, how much time.
How do you meet in the middle or how do you
give
work?
Them?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like some. Would I send us some.
Send us some feedback. We hope you love this episode of our birth story and all the things. Check out BetterHelp and Warby Parker, and we will be back next week.
Wait, so. And check out babymamasnodrama.com
for new merch.
All merch. You guys are going to love these blankies.
Yes.
Go check out. We have some notebooks in there, too. Mm-hmm. So lots of cute stuff, and we've got these little shirts, too, long sleeve shirts for the fall. So you guys can check that out on www.babymamasnodrama.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya. All right, what's the best way to get big savings on your favorite spring looks? Shopping at Ross. They've got you covered on all the styles you love, and you can save big and get top brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. So if you're looking for deals on shirts and tops, Ross is your one-stop shop. We're talking about savings on your favorite tops from your favorite brands, and it's spring, so you know Ross has savings on sundresses. We all know that. You want a deal on a dress? Ross has you covered. Don't forget the sandals. You know Ross has those for the low. From slides to wedges, find the brand name sandals for less. Deals on handbags? Yeah, hold my purse. Take the party outside with great deals on melamine dishes and more because we love entertaining outside, and there are even great deals on men's spring shirts and more. What are you waiting for? Head on over to a Ross near you and save big. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. So will your budget. Believe me when I say your wallet will thank you. If you really love savings, head to Ross today.